The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Welcome back to the second hour of this morning's programme. Caller says Micheál is 100% correct about the issue with dumping of tar. If it was the local community groups or individuals dumping it, they'd be fined. It's a disgrace. Some companies appear to get away with this for years with no penalties. The same thing happened overnight in Letterkenny, according to a caller near this test centre on the Pierce Road. It appears to have been 4 to 5 loads of car that were dropped off. It should be easy enough to track down who is responsible. Another caller saying, and this is a point that Micheál himself was making, dumping tar when we have roads full of potholes, you can't be serious. And that's a point that Micheál himself made as well. Caller asks, why do the Real Estate Alliance not have to test houses prior to selling properties in Donegal? If you buy a property after the date of January 2020, you don't qualify for the micro redress scheme. This is very unfair. I suppose the answer to that is the Real Estate Alliance are agents. They organise the sale of an asset from one person to another person, and they act as the agents through whom that sale is made. It's all about, I suppose, the seller making disclosures and the buyer making him or herself satisfied that what's being sold is as declared. The agent is there to facilitate the sale. I suppose that would be the answer to that. Whether that's satisfactory to you, caller, I can't say. Caller says, you had the Sinn Féin spokesperson for health on, a so-called deputy. Well, in fairness, a so-called deputy. Deputy is the phrase that is used to describe members of our national parliament. I think, in fairness, there is no so-called about it. Deputy is the word, and it's a title that pertains to the job to which the people have been elected, and it's a title to which they deserve. And they deserve it because sufficient thousands of people have given them the votes to bestow that title on them. So, in fairness, whatever party they may be, any party or none, anyone who is a deputy in our national parliament deserves the title. It's not so-called. However, in fact, we have deputy sheriffs who are elected to answer solely to and follow the order of the sheriff, the party leader. They don't really represent those who supposedly elect them, and that is what is really wrong with Irish democracy. The deputies turn their back on the voters who elected them so as to take care of the big boys in Brussels and thus stick it to the voters who pay all the bills. And that's from Raymond. Raymond, all I can say to that is the voters have every right, when they get the opportunity next, and in the case of our councillors, it'll be in early June of next year. In the case of RTDs, it'll either be the autumn of next year or the early spring of 2025, but I suspect it will be autumn next year. You will get your absolute chance to decide to transfer your vote from one person to another. Caller asks, could you ask if Donegal County Council have sold on Martin's filling station, which they bought under compulsory purchase for the new bridge 10 years ago? The response from the council is the filling station and house in question will not be sold, as lands or part thereof are required for the 10T project, with the house currently leased. And the 10T project is the wider project of roadworks around Letterkenny and indeed the Twin Towns, of which the Bonnygee Link will potentially form a part. Yesterday it was asked, I heard in the grapevine during the week the tenders are out for the bridge over the Swilly at Letterkenny. Apparently this bypass falls under the A5 upgrade linking Letterkenny to Strabane and onto the A5. The council has responded, there is currently no tender for a national road bridge in Letterkenny, as the 10T project is only at planning stage. The tender may relate to a non-national road bridge in the town. So there is a tender out for works on another bridge in Letterkenny, and it could be. Now, we do know that there's been talk about doing some upgrade works on the bridge over the Swilly at Old Town. Now, I'm spitballing here. I do not know, but I'm thinking that could be works to upgrade the bridge over the Swilly at Old Town. That may be the situation. I might be further out than Fannad Lighthouse when I say that. But certainly, as I said, and I was in Lifford yesterday at a council meeting yesterday evening, and I did discuss this with a number of councillors, and they confirmed absolutely not. We are nowhere near tenders for the Bonnygee Link and that bridge, which will form a central part of it.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 9126025.
The Community Garda slot on Highland Radio. Delighted to say we are joined in the studio this morning by Sergeant Charlene Anderson from Buncrana Garda Station. Charlene, good morning.
Good morning, Donal.
It's great to have you. Charlene, sadly, we know what the main headlines have been in the news over the past number of days, and we have to start with two road fatalities, and we're starting this morning in Moville.
That's correct, Donal. So the first appeal this morning is in relation to a fatal road traffic collision involving a lorry and a car that occurred on the R238 at Moville in Donegal on the morning of Friday, the 22nd of September at approximately 8 a.m. Now, the driver of the car was a female in her late 50s and she was pronounced dead at the scene. A lorry driver, a male in his 50s, was removed to the hospital for assessment. So we're appealing to anyone who may have information in relation to the incident, particularly any road users who may have dash cam footage, anyone that was travelling on the Muff to Moville Road at the time of the collision. We would ask them to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 9320540, or as always, people can contact the Gardaí Confidential line on 1800 666 111.
And now to the south of the county and that horrific incident that happened on Saturday night in Bundoran.
Yes, so Gardaí and Ballyshannon are appealing for witnesses following a fatal road traffic collision in Bundoran on Saturday the 23rd of September, shortly after 9:20 p.m. Now, Gardaí and emergency services were alerted after a pedestrian was struck by a vehicle on the Atlantic Way, Bundoran. The pedestrian was a boy aged 9 years old and sadly he was pronounced dead at the scene a short time later. Now, the vehicle involved in the collision failed to remain at the scene, but a man in his 20s has been arrested in connection with the incident and has been charged to appear in court this morning. So we're appealing to anyone with information once again. Anyone who may have witnessed the collision, any road users or indeed pedestrians who may have camera footage, including dash cam footage, anyone who was travelling in the area of the Atlantic Way, Bundoran, on Saturday evening between 8:45 and 9:45 p.m. And we'd ask them to make that footage available to us. They can contact Gardaí and Ballyshannon on 0719 858 530.
And it's important because sometimes if people hear an arrest have been made, they may think to themselves, oh, it's okay, it's sorted, I don't need to come forward with whatever I may have. They probably don't need it. The reality is, you want to get as much information as possible, and anything anyone may have, whether or not there's been arrest, whatever point the investigation is at, you can always do it more.
Absolutely. And you'd be surprised, a small wee bit of information, a small nugget of information can sometimes, you know, prove extremely helpful to Gardaí. And irrespective of whether somebody's arrested or not, if somebody was there, if somebody witnessed this, if someone has any information in relation to it, we just ask them to make that information available to us. And just on behalf of Gardaí Síochána Donegal, we'd just like to extend our sympathies to Mary and to Ronan's family this morning and to their friends and the wider community and at this sad time.
To Letterkenny now, and an incident that happened on the Old Town Road on Friday last.
That's right, John. So Gardaí and Letterkenny are appealing to anyone who was in the area of the Old Town Road, Letterkenny, on Friday the 22nd of September between midday and 12:15 p.m. and who may have dash cam footage. So we received a report and it was in relation to a collision that occurred, and we're interested in hearing about any sightings of a dark coloured car with a possible partial reg of 161D or 161DL in that area during that time. So should anyone be in a position to assist us with this information or footage, we'd ask them to contact Gardaí and Letterkenny Kenny on 9167100.
And staying in Letterkenny, coming right up to date actually, an incident in the early hours of this morning.
That's correct. So Gardaí and Letterkenny are investigating an incident in which a man was allegedly assaulted by a group of males at the Port Road, Letterkenny, at approximately 3:10 a.m. this morning. The injured man was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital to receive treatment for his injuries, now none of which are believed to be life-threatening at this juncture. So we appeal to anybody who is travelling maybe on the Port Road in around that area this morning, the early hours between 3 and 3:30 a.m, who may once again have dash cam footage or may indeed have any information in relation to the incident, they may have witnessed it. And we'd ask them to contact Gardaí Letterkenny on 9167100.
Heading back up to your own patch and an incident in Buncrana at the weekend.
That's correct. So this time Gardaí in Buncrana are seeking information in relation to a criminal damage incident. This occurred in Marion Park, Buncrana, on Saturday the 23rd of September, shortly before 9 p.m. Now, a resident of a house in that area was upstairs watching TV when they heard a smash. The front window of the house had been broken and a young male, who was described as being tall, wearing a black baseball cap and blue jeans, fled the scene. So we just appeal to anyone who was in the area. Some people may be out walking that time of night. People might have travelled through the area, through that estate. And we'd ask them if they have any information in relation to this particular incident to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 9320540.
Drumahoe in Letterkenny, a burglary at a business premises a while back.
That's correct. So Once again, Gardaí, you're investigating a burglary. Then this occurred at a business premises in Drumnahoe, Letterkenny, between 7 p.m. on Monday, the 18th of September, and 4:50 a.m. on Tuesday, the 19th of September. Now, the front PVC door of an office was damaged and entry was gained. A cash box containing a sum of cash was stolen from within the office. So we just appeal to anyone who may have observed anything suspicious, any suspicious activity in around the area, to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny. Now, the area in which the business is situated, it's on the outbound lane along the stretch of road on the N56, just where the roadworks are done at the moment between the Dry Arch and the Polestar roundabout.
And a number of incidents at business premises in the Trentaboy area of Drumkeen, and that happened later on Tuesday night of last week.
That's correct. So between the hours of 9:45 p.m. and 11:45 p.m. on Tuesday the 19th of September, a number of business premises in the Trentaboy area of Drumkeen were entered by three males and motor vehicle batteries were stolen. So we just appeal to anyone who may have observed any suspicious activity in the area on the night of the 19th of September to make contact with Gardaí in Letterkenny on 9167 100.
And just an appeal to people in terms of if they see any suspicious vehicles around. We're getting to the later nights now. The nights are coming in, it's getting darker earlier and earlier. And, you know, perhaps if you see a suspicious vehicle in the area, be it in the rural area or indeed even in an estate, in a town, if there's something suspicious happening outside, no harm to let the local Garda station know.
Absolutely. So just our appeal this morning is just to members of the public to contact Garda immediately should they see any vehicles or people in the area that might give rise for concern. Unfortunately, with the darker evenings, we often see our eyes in burglaries, as criminals like to use the cover of darkness to their advantage. So to appeal to everybody to be alert and just to take the necessary security precautions at their homes and at their businesses. I suppose lock up, light up for winter. Ensure your doors are locked and your windows, turn on your lights. You can now buy plugs and automated plugs and lights and devices of that nature. Alarms, if you have them, make sure that they're working correctly. Switch them on when you're leaving your premises or your home. And just to be vigilant. And once again, if you do see anything suspicious or you feel something gives rise for concern, give us a call and we'll absolutely check it out.
Back to Inishowen and a car theft.
Gardaí in Carndun are appealing for information in relation to the theft of a car, which was a black Volkswagen Golf registration number AK52HLN from the Gorthlarry area of Carndun between September 4th and September 25th. Now, the owner had parked the car on the 4th, and it was only when he returned to collect it on the September 25th that he realised the car had been stolen. So should anybody have any information in relation to the current whereabouts of the vehicle, we'd ask them to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 9320540. And just once again, that registration number is AK52HLN and it's a black Volkswagen Golf.
And it happened over the course of the past 3 weeks, basically.
That's correct.
The owner came back yesterday having parked up on the 4th. To Milford now, and calves going missing from farms.
Yes, we received this report recently from two farmers who contacted Milford Garda station to report that they both had calves missing over the weekend of Thursday the 21st to Sunday the 24th of September. Now, both calves are missing from the Golan area in Milford. One of the calves is described as brown with a white face and a distinctive mark under its right eye. The second calf is completely white in colour with two black ears, and it's very young and quite small. So should anyone have any information in relation to the whereabouts of the animals, we'd ask them to contact Milford on 9153060.
To finish, an open day taking place at the Garda station in Letterkenny. Some crack to be had this weekend.
Yes, so Letterkenny Gardaí are hosting an open day on Saturday the 30th of September, and it's between 12 and 4 p.m. Now, there is a sensory hour between 11 and 12, during which time the lights and sirens will not be used. Should anyone have any requests or requirements in order to be able to or safely or comfortably attend the sensory hour, we'd ask them just to contact Letterkenny Gardaí station in advance. We have a number of VIP guests. Now, I just don't see your name on the list, I'll do my best to try and include you on it. But we have our little blue heroes. They're going to be our VIP guests at the event on Saturday. I suppose what people don't know is they might think that we just have one or two little blue heroes. Mm-hmm. We actually have 14 little blue heroes in Donegal. Right. So we would hope that a number of them will be there on the day to meet and greet people. We'd also have face painting and Soca Garda. You might come down for that event.
I'm way ahead of you, girl. I was at the Soca Garda stand at Relay for Life in
but
June.
I heard you were so good. Already. I heard you were so good that you'll have to be here on Saturday. There's going to be live music, arts and crafts, and there's also some of our specialist units will be in attendance. We'll have the mounted unit, armed support, public order units, roads policing units, community policing units. So look, it's we hope that it's going to be a great day.
Yeah.
We'd like to think that people would turn up on the day. We'd be delighted to meet you all. And it's a great opportunity for people to meet us in a different capacity, not when we're attending calls and meeting people, but just when we're, I suppose, in our own environment, they can come in, they can meet us, they can see what we do and the specialist services that we have within the organisation. And also on the day, we'll be joined by a number of outside agencies. So we're hoping for a really good turnout. But what I will say is there will be no parking, unfortunately, at Letterkenny Garda, the station. Now, there will be disabled parking there, but there just simply wouldn't be enough spaces at the front of the station. But there is parking.
The Ty Culbert car park is right around the corner.
Just around the corner, unfortunately, there's roadworks being done at the end of the road, so hopefully that might be rectified by Saturday.
Well, I think the roadworks are 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. I was actually walking this morning and they were just putting up the cones at about 7:15. So, yeah, the cones do come up in the early morning. And I do actually think, no, it's due to finish on Friday night, Saturday morning, so the work should be actually, that high road should be beautifully resurfaced just in time.
Hopefully.
That's the plan anyway. Now, given the weather forecast, we'll have to see what happens, but... Charlene, thank you very much as always. It's been a pleasure. And if anyone can help with any of those, contact the Garda station in question. And look, I've no doubt, if you can contact any Garda station, the message will get passed on. And just to finish, would you repeat the confidential line number again, if you would?
It's 1800 666 111.
Sergeant Charlene Anderson, thank you very much indeed. And a very good morning to you.
Thank you, Donald. Thank you.
This is the Lindsay Noon Show on Highland Radio. Donald Cavan with you until 12 noon today. Now, there is a special meeting of Donegal County Council going to take place on the 11th of October. And it is to discuss the issue of housing and specifically discuss the need for more social housing in Donegal and answer a number of questions. I was in Lifford for part of yesterday's meeting. The discussion started, I think the show was still on the air when the discussion actually started, and a discussion lasted well into yesterday afternoon. Officials have taken a number of questions from members and they'll be coming back with answers and further discussion on the 11th, joined by Councillor Martin Harley, who is the Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council. Martin, good morning.
Morning, Donald.
Martin, a very lengthy and in-depth discussion yesterday. It started with officials seeking clearance for a €7.5 million loan for land acquisition. Then we had two motions, one from Councillor Brogan calling for a dedicated housing department within council, the other from Councillor Mary Therese Gallagher calling for plans in both the short to medium and long terms for the development of housing. All that came in together and a lengthy discussion followed, ultimately a special meeting taking place. Was that a good day's work from your point of view?
Yeah, well, Donald, it was a very good day's work. I suppose, as you say, the original discussion came under corporate matters regarding the loan for two sites, the councillor purchasing in Letterkenny for building 300 social housing units. So, and then we decided then to take two motions regarding housing as well. So we had over three hours of discussion regarding it. And everybody out there knows that that's a massive issue at the moment, housing. So if we look back to 2008, that's only 15 years ago. At that stage, we had 70,000, something like 70,000 houses, too many built in the country. And we know all about the ghost estates that we had at the time. And then, of course, we had a period then where we had no houses built at all. So we're back now. We're at a stage where there's such a lack of housing, plus the fact we have, unfortunately, the Ukrainian situation, which is devastating for the people from Ukraine and the asylum seekers that are in the country. So, and then our own people trying to get housing. So we have it's all throughout Ireland, we have a massive problem for need for housing. And then, of course, what happened as well after the recession of 2008-2009, a lot of the people who were involved in the housing industry changed out of it. So we have a lack of tradespeople as well now. So it's a massive situation that we have at the moment.
As you said, it started as a discussion under sort of the council's own corporate arrangements, and a number of points were made that maybe changes could be made within the council structures to streamline things. Councillor McGowan made a comment, for instance, that sometimes he gets the impression that the housing department and the planning department aren't talking to each other, and you can get different arms of council seemingly acting in ways that almost contradict each other. Is there scope there, do you believe, for internal change within the council, perhaps taking on board Councillor Brogan's suggestion of a single housing department with no other responsibilities, but that there needs to be more internal communication with council to ensure that every opportunity is seized and everyone knows what everybody else is doing?
Yeah, well, you see, the problem, and I don't know, Councillor Donald Coyle kind of hit on the point very much so, was the fact that there's so much bureaucracy and the fact that you have to go to tendering for architects, you have to tender for this, you have to tender for that. Whereas like if I'm a builder tomorrow morning and I go out, I just tender, I go to one person and I tender. I don't have to give it to three people. The council have to tender everything out to three people.
Yeah.
You have to give three different people the options. Because of to keep things right, we're a private contractor doesn't have to go through all that. Yeah. So as you've seen, where Councillor Donald Coyle's stated during his talk was that you have to go through that many loops. The time frame is massive. You're looking at 4.5 years. Councillor Donald Coyle mentioned for one site for 34 houses. So that's part of the problem. That needs to be, and I don't think it's not this case that one department not working with other. The other point that you made at Saturday, Donald, was that we have a dedicated council housing directorate. That's a very good idea. I think that's very important because we after the discussion yesterday, then we had a discussion on sustainability and to environmental and one of the same people who were involved in housing and acquisitions was involved in that there. So it's a lot of work involved. It's too much work involved for one department to be covering so many different areas. So I think that's a very good point that Councillor Brogan made.
A number of topics were raised, obviously, and you know, no discussion on housing in Donegal is going to take place without discussion of the defective blocks issue. A lot of questions have gone to management. That meeting now is going to take place in October on the 11th, Wednesday the 11th. That's effectively 2 weeks tomorrow. Are you confident that there will be answers from the executive? And finally, Councillor, are you confident that this meeting will mark a watershed where the council's focus on housing will become, as it were, more positive, and that we'll see positive benefits come from this intense focus that's going on housing, both at yesterday's meeting and on the 11th?
Yeah, I would hope to see it. Well, a lot of the questions that were asked yesterday, I'm sure they will all be answered on the 11th. That meeting's taking place in Lifford on the 11th at 10 a.m. But what we really need to see is, I mean, the council's hands are tied as well, because you're depending on central government to give you the funding. And as you've seen yesterday, not alone did we look for a loan for that, we're looking for an overdraft because central government doesn't give you the money at the time. They only give you the money at the time of the Part 8 comes in. So the money needs to come down quicker. I mean, they keep saying the money's there, but somebody else asked the question yesterday, do they give you the money for the interest for the waiting period? That's a problem because council budgets are tough at the moment. You take it from 2014, that's 9 years, inflation has risen 20%, but the amount of money coming from central government to the council is still the same. The rates bill is the same. Rates haven't gone up since 2018, which is 5 years. And you're expected to do the same amount of work and more with it on the same amount of money. So I think central government have to get their finger out and realise that the work that's going on in all the counties is being done by the councils. The councils are working with 20% less than they were working with 9 years ago, and they're still expected to do the same and more. And that is a big problem, Donald.
Councillor Martin Harley, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning. We'll be very much focusing on that meeting on the 11th and looking with interest. I'm hoping it'll be a public meeting. I presume it will be.
It will be.
And we will certainly be covering that one. Cahir Luke of Donegal County Council, Councillor Martin Harley, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us on that this morning. That's Councillor Martin Harley there. Right, let's change tack completely. You'll have heard in our review of the papers reference to the trawler that ran aground on a sandbank off Blackwater in Wexford on Sunday. It prompted a response from the RNLI and the Rescue 117 helicopter. However, what people didn't expect to happen was this to lead to one of the biggest drug seizures we've seen reported in the state in recent times. Joined by Pádraig Byrne, who's a journalist with independent.ie and the Wexford People. Pádraig, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well indeed. Pádraig, I'm sure local journalists will have been delighted to see they've got a nice story to write about a rescue and a trawler running aground. And only as they were writing that story did they realise that the story you actually had on your hands was a far, far bigger story than that.
Yeah, it's a bit of a crazy one. It's been a bit of a mad couple of days. So I guess how this initially started was, as you say, something simple, a trawler running aground in difficult weather at around 11:30 on Sunday evening. I think I had the first message in relation to this at about 6 a.m. that maybe there was something unusual about this. So as it transpired, Rosslare Harbour, RNLI, and the Coast Guard 117 helicopter approached to assist this trawler that had become stuck. And they received contact from a naval vessel that was tracking the trawler, and the naval vessel asked them to hang back, not to go aboard the trawler, not to winch anyone off until they arrived on scene. Now, as I say, it was very difficult weather, so we had big swells, big winds, and the RNLI did their best to try and get a tow line attached to the trawler, but the two men on board, from what I hear, had very little experience, seafaring experience, so I don't think they really realised what was being asked of them. And eventually it culminated in the two men being lifted from the deck of the trawler, winched aboard the LE William Butler Yeats, the naval vessel, and into the arms of naval officers and Gardaí from the National Drugs Bureau as well, who were on board.
Does that suggest that Gardaí possibly were tracking this trawler, that this didn't come out of the blue as far as the Gardaí were concerned, that they knew what was happening here and they were already on scene?
Yes, well, that's what I'm led to believe anyway, that this was an intelligence-led operation, that the Gardaí and the Navy were monitoring the activities of this trawler. There are stories emerging today that it appears the trawler had only recently been purchased and may have made a trip out to meet another vessel that had come across the Atlantic to collect this shipment of suspected cocaine. As you said, the figures that are being mentioned this morning are kind of astronomical, anything up to €140 million. Now, I would say that's subject to confirmation from Gardaí, who are remaining very tight-lipped on the whole thing. The line that they're taking on at the moment is this is an ongoing operation, so it'd be inappropriate to comment.
Yeah.
But I would anticipate that in the coming hours we'll have a press release revealing the extent of it. But by all accounts, it looks like it's going to be a very significant drug seizure anyway.
As you said, the two that were on board the trawler don't appear to have been in any way experienced seafarers. I mean, it raises the question, is that the reason the trawler ran aground?
Yeah, well, it could be. I mean, from what I gather from talking to sources within the RNLI and that locally, it seemed like, you know, even the most basic thing of when they were firing across the tow lines and that the two lads on board didn't really understand what to do with them at all. I'm told that one of the men was an English national, the other was believed to be Eastern European. And from what I can gather locally from local sources here, both those men are now in custody. They have been arrested. So I would anticipate that we should have some significant movement in the next couple of hours and developments in relation to the extent of what this operation is. But in the meantime, from what I can gather, the Air Corps and the Navy and that are around the wreckage of the trawler, which is still on the sandbank. I guess they're kind of facing a race against time now at the moment with a big storm incoming. They'll want to get this thing wrapped up as soon as possible, you know.
Do you know if they've managed to get the suspected cocaine off the trawler or is it still on board?
Well, from what I can gather, there's a couple of theories in relation to that. It was reported yesterday there were some reports that bales of cocaine were seen floating at sea off the coast. Now, from what I've heard, the Navy sent out a couple of ribs to investigate that, but it certainly seems suspicious. But in the meantime, they haven't actually managed to land anyone on the stricken trawler yet, from what I can gather, because the weather conditions have been quite challenging. It's very windy and that, so they're finding it difficult to winch people down onto it. But I'd imagine they're facing a bit of a race against time now, because they'll want to get whatever's on board that trawler and get whatever is floating around at sea secured pretty quickly before the storm blows in. I know yesterday we did have Air Corps helicopters and an Air Corps plane performing big swoops up and down the Wexford coast, scanning the sea for whatever they may believe had been dropped there. So there's been a lot of military activity in the past couple of days around Wexford. It's kind of become a bit of a hot topic locally.
Absolutely. And we all recall, was it off the Kerry or Cork coast some years ago when something similar happened and there were bales of cocaine floating around in the water for a while and ultimately inspiring the film The Young Offenders, I think, in many ways. But,
that's right, yeah.
Which is a great film, by the way, if anyone has
seen it. Seems like it could well be a similar, similar situation. Yeah. I'm sure there'll be people combing the beaches of Wexford.
No doubt. Well, I mean, we had our own one in Donegal earlier this year, where now it was only a trifling, I think, 4 or 5 million, but there was bales found on beaches in Donegal earlier on this year. But as I say, the figure's trifling. Only a few million now compared to what the Wexford figure appears to be. In the meanwhile,
you know, it's really crazy when you actually step back and look at some of the figures, even at some of the seizures that are going on down in Rosslare Europort. I know the Revenue and Gardaí customs officers and that are all doing great work down there, and there's been some major seizures in recent times. But I think what it starts to do with a lot of people is to make you step back and think, you know, if these are the ones we're discovering, how much is actually coming in unnoticed? And I suppose that's the worrying thing about it all, you know?
I mean, I've said this before, there used to be a theory, I don't know if the theory still holds, but there used to be a theory of what they call the 10% theory, that what's seized is 10% of what's out there. So if there is 100 million euro worth being seized, there's 900 million euro worth that isn't. That used to be the sort of the prevailing theory. Whether it still is or not, I don't know. In the meanwhile, Padraig Byrne, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us this morning.
No problem. Thanks a million.
It's our pleasure. That's Padraig there. He's a journalist with independent.ie and the Wexford People. It's the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. A very good morning to you. Just a few comments before we go to our next guest. Lots of debris on the road between Rye and Remelton this morning. Looks like it's come off a lorry, rocks and stones. No other people's cars are wrecked. Another caller says, nearly 40 years waiting on a tender to go out for the badly needed Bonagie Link. Serious questions need to be asked here after billions already spent. Why is Sinn Féin so quiet about this too? In fairness, I think members of all parties at Donegal County Council have been very, very vocal on this, as have our TDs. I think all parties have been pushing to get it done. You know, the progress from government is slow. But we'll see what happens in the election campaign and directly after it. Corus is just back from northern Spain and comparing the quality of roads. We're 50 years behind in quality and quantity. Spain and Ireland joined the EU at the same time. How come Spain is doing better, asks a caller. Now, we're going to go to a bus, believe it or believe it not, because you'll have heard on the news that there is a team from the Early Childcare Providers Federation heading to Dublin for a protest outside Leinster House. Elaine Dunn is one of those on the bus. Elaine, good morning.
Good morning.
Elaine, you and your colleagues are travelling to Dublin. We've heard a lot in recent weeks, and particularly before the start of the new term, about the need for investment, about the need for a solid look at the amount of money being put into early childhood. Are you anyway confident that you're being listened to? And is today going to make a difference?
Yes. I have to say that we're definitely being listened by different TDs and ministers around the country. Absolutely. They're now starting to understand where the problems are. Do I think that the Department of Children and our minister are listening to us? I don't know, because we've had no communication from them whatsoever regarding the issue. Minister Gorman is saying that he's put in, you know, 1 billion over so many years, and but like, it's not coming onto the ground. And if it's not coming to us, then where is it going? If we're closing for 3 days because of lack of funding, then there is a lack of funding, and there's definitely a breakdown somewhere of the funding model. It's not working for us.
So all creches are closed today to facilitate this action outside Leinster House. 4,000 people.
I have to say, It's not all crashes. It's the crashes that...
Oh, just the participants. Sorry, I just read that briefing note wrong there. Now, as we said, 4,000 expected to converge on Leinster House today. The protest is at 12 noon. I'm sure you're fairly close to Dublin and Leinster House now at this stage. Among the issues you're raising is that promises have been made by many people, but it appears they haven't been fulfilled.
Yeah, look, you know, when you see the core funding, it's year two now since the September. And all we got this year from the Department of Children, Minister Gorman and government was a 3 cent increase per hour per child. So, like, you look at the small early childhood care and education services. So they're getting €69 capitation a week per child. So that's €4.60 an hour, okay? So then we, some of the people arrived into Dublin this morning and they said there's a car park beside Leinster House. And it's €4.60 an hour to park your car there. And that's how much we're getting paid to look after children in our services. I mean, that's an unviable business, you know, and it's just as simple as that, it's unviable. And we've asked the department and government to increase that capitation to €100 per child per year, and it must be index linked from here on in, do you know what I mean? So we're hoping that they're listening. We don't want to continuously have to keep closing our doors. We don't want to have to keep travelling to Leinster House to get our voices heard.
Yeah.
There's localised protests over the coming days also.
I want to go to Rebecca Fleury, who is an educator at Smart Steps and their Gaelscoil Céimeanna Cliste na n-Iarthair, four locations in Raphoe, Drumkeen, Remelton and Churchill. Rebecca, good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
Very well indeed, thank you. Rebecca, you're travelling to the demonstration outside Leinster House as well today. Important from your point of view that your presence is made in Dublin and that those entering Leinster House today for the opening of the weekly Dáil session are left in no doubt as to the seriousness of your determination.
Absolutely. We're on the bus here now from Donegal, just coming into Dublin. We're just fed up. We're tired, we're exhausted. I spoke to our colleagues of mine here on the bus. You know, we have families ourselves. We don't have a minute to ourselves with our family. You know, we didn't get into childcare to sacrifice time with our own children. There's not enough money for staff to get the pay they deserve. And we want to see that change because our staff are wonderful and we want to make sure that they're supported.
Is it your belief that the department and the government takes your professionalism as seriously as they should? Because it seems on the one hand they want to talk about you as being childcare professionals, but on the other hand the wages they want to pay and the subventions they want to give don't seem to back that up.
No, well, what's happening is, you know, they are introducing pay scales for the sector and this is a great thing to see. It's long overdue. The problem is that they're fighting, you know, SIP2 and the organisations are fighting for higher wages of, you know, 15% increases this year, whereas the government's only willing to put up core funding by 3.5%. I mean, it doesn't add math there. It doesn't add up. How are we supposed to improve paying conditions for staff without losing out our services suffering funding for quality childcare provision?
Louise Gately works at the Small World Childcare Centre in Donegal Town. Louise, good morning to you.
Good morning, Donal.
Louise, in terms of your work on a day-to-day basis, how much more difficult is it now to provide the service you're expected to provide given the level of subvention and support that you're getting?
It's very, very hard. Like, we have an amazing team who work, like, you know, they put 100% into every day. But I mean, they are leaving the sector and it's purely down to the, you know, to the stress and the amount of paperwork and, you know, additional work that is, you know, put onto them. You know, it's extremely underfunded, like ECC and AIM support. And it's just, I think everyone just feels like everyone's like a sinking ship. It's just everybody slowly sinking and being buried under mass amounts of paperwork.
Elaine, the suggestion is that 260 childhood centres nationally are going to close their doors this year because of inadequate funding. That's a huge number.
Yeah, look, we lost 56 services within the Federation alone in June this year. I mean, that's a massive number of closures that have not notified the department or Tuzla of their closures because they're just so fed up with enforced out of business. I mean, that's a huge number in that month alone. 29 services last year from September to December closed down also. I mean, there's obviously there's a problem here. and it needs to be rectified. It needs to be rectified fast. They've got to work with us on the ground to ensure that the staffing crisis is looked at, and the staffing wages are looked at, and that the providers are viable businesses for parents and children.
Obviously, I know your focus is on Dublin, but we've had a request asking if there's any demonstration to support the preschool action taking place in Letterkenny today. Are you aware of anything happening locally?
No, we've invited everybody, as many as possible, to come to Dublin.
Yeah. So the focus, obviously, is on Dublin, but I know a number of people actually asking if there's anything they can do to show their support locally.
Yeah, I do believe, what I would ask is that if you're going to support us locally, is to wear the colour orange and support us that way, and put up posters within your windows of your if it's your home or if it's in a service, to put up the posters asking, saying what you're looking for, so the parents can see and they can understand that there is an issue here.
Is it fair to say that today is the first salvo, as it were, in what's going to be an ongoing campaign, that this isn't just going to be a one-off protest, let-off scheme and then go back to normal? This is the start of something that's going to grow.
Oh, no, absolutely, this is going to grow. We've no choice. I mean, if we don't close in 3 days now, we'd be all gone permanently in no time at all. So, like, what choice do we have? And, like, we're fighting here for the child, for the parents, for our staff, and to keep our doors open. That's what we're fighting for today. This isn't just about providers. This is that children have a right to be educated. And if those lovely services nationwide in rural and urban Ireland are closing down, and the places become unavailable, then that damages the workforce, and predominantly women that have to leave the workforce. So obviously, like, we have to do something here. So it's women and that are predominantly going to take the effect. So that's why these protests are very warranted. And I know Minister Gorman keeps saying they're not warranted. They absolutely are warranted.